Good morning, church. Hope you're all doing well. And thank you, Pastor John, and thanks to all the elders in the congregation. And thank you, Pastor Paul. I'm truly grateful for all the prayers that we have received. And as you can see, I'm preaching from my own house for the first time. And it's been a great joy. True that God's word, it says that He's a God who satisfies your soul. Now, if this was achieved within my own skills and through my own hard work or within my own capacity, I wouldn't be there in a position to testify to that promise and say, He has satisfied my soul. It would be more apt to say, yes, I'm satisfied, yes, I'm happy. But because God provided and because His hand has been there through these blessings, I am thankful, and I stand as a testimony to say that God has satisfied my soul. And thank you for all your prayers. I really appreciate every one of you for upholding our family in your prayers, in your personal time. And thanks, Pastor John, for the little guidance that you provided to us. I wouldn't say it is little. In fact, it is very crucial guidance that you have given us in terms of choosing the place, choosing the area, the right decision making and everything. I thank you for that. And church, let's pray and begin the service. I want us to go through a principle in prayer, and it's a mighty and powerful principle in prayer. And accompanied to your prayer, if this principle applied, we can see mighty and powerful things happening in our life. And if somebody asks us, who is the testimony there again, you can say, Pastor Ryan stands as a testimony, applying this principle and what can be achieved and what's being achieved. And let's pray. God, we thank you, Father, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your grace in abundance, for your provision, for your protection, for all the kindness that you have shown towards us, for unconditional love that you have showered upon us, God, Father. God, I thank you, Father, for being there with us. I thank you, Lord, Father, for guiding us, leading us, and every bit of it, Lord, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this season where you have kept us safe under your wings. Under your protection. Many might feel we are closed, but that's how it feels when you are in the warmth of your God, in the warmth of His presence. Yes, He's surrounded all of us by His presence. Only if you can open your eyes and acknowledge His presence, you will feel the warmth as well. I pray, Lord God, that every one of us will experience your presence, Lord Father, throughout this sermon as well. Lord, I pray that you anoint my tongue and what I preach, what I say, and what comes forth of my mouth, Lord Father, be like a double-edged sword, piercing through the hearts of men. Let the word sink in deep and into our fertile hearts, Lord Father, only to germinate, not to perish. And the Lord God, to be mighty, to bear fruits, Lord Father. And the Lord, in your due course, in your timing, in your perfect timing. And the Lord, I thank you, Father, for the hearts that you have given to all of them, all of the church congregation, and all of us to come together. And the Lord, in prayer, we are connected. In prayer, we are one. And the Lord, where one or more are gathered, where two or more are gathered together in my name. And your word clearly says that you will be present among us. And I firmly believe, Lord Father, even through this virtual prayer, that your presence is amazing and mighty and powerful through us. And the Lord, I thank you, Father, for this time, this fellowship, this opportunity that you've given us, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you be the high priest. You lead this sermon, you lead this praise, you lead this worship, Lord Father, by your mighty, powerful hand. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So church, thank you again for listening to the sermon. I'm going to take us all through, including myself. I've learned this principle over a period of time, and I've started applying it, and I've seen myself mighty and powerful results come out of it. The power to deliver, the power to revive, the power to control, to it's not controlling something. The power to control over your situations, your circumstances. So I'd like us to go through certain verses in Bible and understand where we can apply the principle of cry associated with your prayer. Prayer by itself is very powerful. I acknowledge that. But prayer associated with your cry can do tremendous jobs, and it can achieve tremendous results, and it can be miraculous. Mighty and powerful testimonies have taken place when people cried, and powerful things happened when people cried, and powerful manifestations took place when people cried. And I stand myself as a living testimony when I've applied that particular principle associated with my cry and what sort of results I have achieved. So I want us all to apply this particular principle in your personal prayer time as well. This is amazing principle that all the prophets, mighty man of faith or mighty men of faith, have applied over a period of time. And I want to take us through certain examples where they have applied and eventually lead to what your cry can actually do, where it impacts, what is its power, and how you can apply it as well. Let's take examples from Bible and the scriptures itself, not a personal life like mine especially, it's not worth. But I'd like us all to go through these scriptures and understand where they have applied, how they have applied, and what has happened thereafter, how we can apply it onto our lives, and how we can move on with our situations and circumstances. Let me assure you something. Nobody is alien to crying. We cry as babies, and when we grown up, we cry because we cannot control our situations and circumstances. And as elderly, it's times we cannot control ourselves crying because we've seen our loved ones depart. All of this is cry. But the cry that I'm talking about is entirely different. This cry is a cry that connects you to your God instantaneously. My personal belief, church, is that God responds two ways. One is a response, and the second is a reaction. Now to your prayer, he will respond. And I've seen that, not necessary that it would apply to anybody or everybody, but this is something that I've seen, I have experienced, and that is what I wanted to share. And when you cry, God reacts. There is a thin, fine line between response and reaction. Now, response is associated with planning, strategy to implement. But reaction is instantaneous. When you pray, there is God's response, which is strategic, which is planned, which is very well articulated and implemented in our lives. But when you cry, God's heart melts, and it is instantaneous reaction at times. And combine your prayer with your cry, I'll tell you, this will lead you to different dimension in your life. Associate your prayer with your cry. It is by far the most powerful principle that I've applied in my life. And I've seen mighty and powerful things happen in my life. It has power to revive the dead. It has power to control the creation itself. It has power to control your situations, your circumstances. It has power to exhibit amazing miracles and display amazing miracles. And it will lead you through to God's presence without hindrance. Go through scriptures and take those cues and learn this principle a little bit more and try and understand it. I want us all to go through a specific methodology and principle that Moses has applied. Majority of the times, Bible says in Book of Exodus chapter 17 verse 4, Exodus chapter 14 verse 15, Exodus chapter 15 verse 25, Exodus chapter 17 verse 4. It clearly says Moses cried unto his God. It doesn't say Moses prayed. Let me tell you, prayer requires time. Prayer is a specific dedication to your God. Cry, on the other hand, is instantaneous, that comes out of your heart. And in some of these scriptures may not specifically say that they cried, but the understanding is that the way they worshipped, or the way they prayed, or the way they spoke is literally crying. And they poured their heart out unto their God. This is what it means. And let's take another classic example. I'm going to take us through the Numbers, book of Numbers, chapter 20, verse 6 to 8. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down. It's an expression of desperation. It's an expression. To fall face down in front of somebody is to give up everything, a hopelessness situation where you give up all your intellectual capacity, and you just fall on your face in front of your God. Is exactly what Moses and Aaron have done. And check this, the Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, that everybody is looking at it, and it will pour out its waters. Now, I'll tell you something. I've known instances where you dig a well and you will find water. I've known instances where you drill a bore or a pipeline into the ground and you establish a water line. You will find water there. But how does this principle work where you speak to stone and it will pour out waters? It's basically, it has power to control the creation itself, to command the creation. It's more like commanding, not control. More command the creation. So let's take another example, right? Another example. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 to 25. 22 to 25. And then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. As if Moses was supposed to be their provider. They've forgotten who their actual provider is. This is something that we always need to think about and acknowledge who we look up to. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. Now this is another reason why Moses is called the meekest of all. And this is amazing. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and Lord showed him a piece of wood. Now I'll share some examples. We have learned about certain trees and certain herbs, certain plants, which have medicinal capabilities to turn bitterness to sweet. And my question, just Bible doesn't answer this again. See here, a piece of wood, Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. So this particular piece of wood turned the bitterness to sweet. The power of Moses' cry led him to turn the bitter water to sweet, so that people would live, that they would drink. And something that was seemingly worthless became worth drinking and living. If that water didn't turn sweet, they wouldn't have drunk it. And if they didn't drink it, they would have died. Technically, in other words, what I'm trying to say, church, is his prayer combined with his cry has, you know, created so powerful a principle. When he applied it, it became a blessing to others as well. It's just not to him. And it could in fact command the creation itself. Water is creation. Earth, creation. Fire is creation. Light is creation. All of these, including you, including me, we're all creation. But apply this principle and what it can do. In this instance, it turned bitter water to sweet. It's just powerful, powerful, powerful. Try and apply, church. This is amazing. And let's go through another verse where, and by the way, I wanted to also, Bible doesn't answer this question, but by the way, it doesn't mention anywhere. But I want all of us to understand something. We all been through certain situations and we all seek answers. And we all seem to have come to a wall and we say, okay, we've hit the wall. There is nothing further that I can do. And this is it. And what's next? I don't know. But in here, in this instance, if you observe, this particular plant, which has this medicinal capability or capacity, is not common in Sinai Peninsula. Where this instance happened is Sinai Peninsula. And what it means to say is, one side is Red Sea, the other side is Mediterranean, and they were passing through this wilderness. It's Sinai Peninsula. And in that area, there is no scope of any such plant or herb or a tree. But yet, there was a piece of wood, there was a part of a tree or a plant. In some versions it says it was a tree. In some versions it says it's a plant. But ideally what I wanted to ask is, this is something in your personal time, try and think and ponder. Many, many, many thousands of years ago, God knew that his children would come to pass through that land and they would be thirsty and they would come across this particular area. This is the only water puddle and the water is bitter. If he didn't help them, they wouldn't survive. And he planted that particular tree, the piece of wood was in place there. The only thing that we needed is associate our cry with our prayer and apply that principle and turn the bitterness to sweet. It's just amazing. Do it, church. In your time when you pray, associate with your cry. There's nothing wrong in doing it. It is in front of your father, your Abba, who you call your dad. And you know, there were times when I held my dad and when I cried, when especially after visiting India, you know, when the time hits to return, on that night, pretty much we would hardly be in a position to speak to each other. And I used to hold my dad and I used to cry a lot. And that had specific emotion to it. Prayer, like I said, is associated with intellectual ability, your thinking pattern, what you want, how you want it and whatnot. But on the other hand, if you look at cry, it is pure emotion. There is nothing compared to it. It is beautiful. It is awesome. It's absolutely incredible. When you cry before your father, when you cry before your Abba, I'll tell you, the miracles that you're experiencing in your life will be nothing like ever before. And I can guarantee that. And let's go through the power to revive the dead. Wow. How does the cry associated with your prayer, what sort of a power is that it can revive the dead? Let's have a look at 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 20 to 22. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 20 to 22. This is Elijah cried out and God revived a dead child. He cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, my slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord, cried again unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him, and he revived. Now, church, if I tell you that the water cannot come out of stone, and then when you pray, the fire comes and consumes the wet wood and the meat that is laid upon it, this is next level. Dead person is brought to life. Your cry associate with your prayer. I'm not saying that, you know, this is something that we experience on daily basis, but try and understand the amount of power it has associated with it. This is incredible, church. Try and understand this. Power to deliver from death. Let's take this for an instant. This is next level again. Power to deliver you from death. COVID-19 situation right now is so concerning. And yes, because of two reasons. One, we do not have a vaccination and not an approved form of medical treatment that can be applied. But at the same time, look, for God, nothing is impossible. This particular verse, apply it again and see the results for yourself. Jehoshaphat cried. This is chapter 2 Chronicles chapter 18 verse 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 18 verse 31. Jehoshaphat cried out, and God delivered him from death. It came to pass, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped them, and God moved them to depart from him. Lord coming to your rescue when you cry is so instantaneous. There, then, God understands your urgency, church. Prayer is, yes, effective, powerful, but at the same time, associate with cry, incredible results. This is another classic example. Power to lead you to victory. The people who are experiencing, defeats, one after the other, setbacks, as some would say, one after the other. Let us go through this particular instance and take heed and apply that again. And let's take this example. Hezekiah cried out, and God gave him victory. And check this. Hezekiah, the king. From 2 Chronicles chapter 32 verse 20 to 21, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven. Prayed and cried to heaven. Underline that thing. The principle is prayed and cried. To heaven, in other words, it is God, to God. And the Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor, and the leaders and the captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. Another incredible example of what your prayer associated with your cry can lead to. Let's take this one, is absolute next level. And there is only one instance in Bible where it says, for the first time ever, probably the last, God obeyed a man's voice. Let's take this. I want us to go through a specific version of Bible as well. Let's go through NET, New English Translation, New King James Version, and King James Book. these particular versions, Good News Translation especially, Good News Translation, it clearly says, Joshua chapter 10 verse 12 to 14, it says, for the first time, God obeyed man's voice. Joshua chapter 10 verse 12 to 14, please go through. I want to pick up the pace as I'm just crossing the time. It's 20 minutes already. Let's pick up the pace a little bit further. And this is the last and final, example, instance. And I want to give you, so far what we have covered is it has the power to reach your God. Like Psalms 102, verse 1, it says, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come out to thee. Let my cry reach you. In other words, this is your prayer reaches your God, the power to reach your God. And the second thing that we have seen is power to command the creation itself is Numbers chapter 20, verse 6 to 8. We have seen the water coming out of a rock. Not from the ground, by the way, not from your water taps, not from, the toilet flushes. This is next level, from the rock. And this, I cannot fathom, understand. This is amazing, incredible. Power to revive the dead, next level. Someone who's been dead, and Elijah cried, brought the dead boy back to life. Power to deliver from death. Jehoshaphat, when he cried, apparently, God moved his enemies away from him. And he delivered him from death. Near-death experience. Power to deliver you to victory. And when Hezekiah cried, Hezekiah and Isaiah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 20 to 21, when they prayed and cried, to the heaven, they were delivered again. God sent his angel. God constantly is paying attention to your heart, the condition of your heart. I have this gadget. I particularly wore this today, and it's Samsung Galaxy Watch. It has ability to keep track of my movements. It has ability to tell me what's the condition of my heart. Is it stressed? Is it the stress level especially? And it's funny, when I say stress levels, it's pretty incredible. See here, it says stress. It'll tell me, measure my stress and tell me how much I'm stressed. Your God is in constantly monitoring this. Without charge will not work. I cannot wear this in toilet. I cannot wear this when I'm sleeping. I don't want to. It's uncomfortable. I can't wear this when I'm showering. But your God, on the other hand, is constantly watching your condition of your heart. He knows when it's stressed. He knows the emotions out of it, and he knows what to do. The power the Lord obeyed or heeded to a man's voice. Another incredible example, book of Joshua chapter 10 verse 12 to 14. When Joshua said, let the moon stay still, the sun stay still, the earth, and let me go and, knock my enemies down. God obeyed a man's voice for the first time. Some versions it says hearken, some versions it says heeded, some versions it says God listened to a man's voice. But go through all the versions possible in this particular verse which says Joshua chapter 10, 12 to 14. This scripture is incredible. I'm going to take you to the last one, Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, 46 to 52. Seemingly very normal situation, but I want you to focus more on one particular scripture which says, Mark chapter 10, 49. Read it out loud. Read it out in any possible version possible. Go through it. It says, Jesus stopped and said, call him. This is Bartimaeus, a blind person who wants desperately to see. And he's calling out Jesus' name, Jesus, Son of David, save me, I need you, I need you. He keeps calling him. People rebuke him, but he's not listening. I don't want to listen to any of you. I want to keep crying, I want to keep yelling out his name until Jesus stopped. So far, the power of your cry, you have seen demonstrations where it has power to revive the dead, turn the bitterness to sweet, kind of control your situations, control your circumstances, you know, possibly, you know, deliver you from death and deliver you from enemies and give you victories, lead you to victories. Possibly God obeying a man's voice, but this is next level, church. Understand, this person's voice stopped the Creator himself. Jesus is none other than Creator. Your cry has the power to stop the Creator for a moment. Church, what more can I try and explain, and how more can I try and explain other than this, that your cry, your association of your power will lead to incredible results in your life. Let us all experience this. And I thank you once again for giving me this opportunity to share these beautiful scriptures out of the Bible. And every time I go through these scriptures, especially when I come to Bartimaeus, this is one incredible verse where it says, Jesus stopped. Mark chapter 10, verse 49. Jesus stopped. That is stopping the Creator himself. A cry of a blind person, a cry of a lame person. He cannot move because he can't walk and he cannot see. Because he's blind. Now, that person's voice, the cry, had the power to stop the Creator himself. Get desperate in your prayer. Get desperate and get crying. Try and implement it. Try and practice it. I'm not saying, guys, it's time to cry. But what I'm trying to say is this principle, when you apply in your personal life, in your prayer time, in your situations, in your circumstances, cry unto your God and he will deliver. God is there consistently, constantly listening to you guys. It's not like these smart gadgets which are hooked onto your body, which can monitor your stress levels, monitor your heart rates. God is next level. And let's pray. I hope this particular verses, these scriptures will bring in a next level of transformation in our faith life, especially when we try and implement these principles. And I wish and I pray especially that our church, the congregation, and especially this Brimbank Church of Christ has a special place in my heart. And I cannot forget the way you all have treated us. And my cry to my God is that every one of you are surrounded by his presence from the dawn breaking to every single second till the next dawn breaks. I'm pretty serious that when I say that, I uphold every one of you in my prayer time. And let's pray. And I thank you once again for this opportunity. God, we thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Father, for your amazing words, the principles that you reveal to us, how you react to how we cry. And Lord God, how you respond to when we pray. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your amazing principles that you reveal to all of us. I pray that every one of us will apply them in their personal prayer life and achieve tremendous results. It's not just result-oriented, Lord God, but it will transform our lives. Lord, we want to experience you. It's just not, something that we want to connect. It's something we want to experience next level. Give us all that opportunity, Father. And may I also pray, Lord Father, before we part ways, Lord, that your presence never depart from us. Your hand be there upon us at all times, Lord God, and let your Holy Spirit always lead us and guide us, Lord God. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray this prayer, and submit and surrender this whole service into your wonderful, capable hands. And again, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you very much, church. Appreciate your time. And I know I've taken 30 minutes, but I am pretty sure that it is worth that 30 minutes in your life. And let's see the results come through. And I pray that every one of you will stand as a testimony in Brimbank Church of Christ and share your amazing testimonies as soon as the COVID-19 lockdowns lifted, when we all return into our churches again. In the name of Jesus, I pray that this will come to pass. Amen.